That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning, Remnant. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We are coming to you live from, oh, it's a little cooler, Radio Ranch this morning. Get the button. Here we go. That's a little better. Had a little cool front move through. We're about 45 degrees this morning, and just perfect sweatshirt weather. No rain yet, but that's all right. And, Paul, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Sorry, caught me sipping some coffee. And Remnant, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. We've got the phone lines open if you want to join the program this morning. 307-745-5913, and be glad to take your call. But we're going to open up in prayer first. Paul, I'll ask if you would ask God's blessings on our time this morning.
Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of God on behalf of our nation and our people, Lord, that we would be a servant to them, that we would talk about things that aren't talked about otherwise, Lord, that your mighty hand is being handed, going on right now. We're reaping those seeds of rebellion that this nation has sowed, and our pulpits have gone dead and are useless, Lord. And we ask that you would speak to your people. I remember Pastor Peter had a sermon one time. You do speak to your people when that kind of thing happened, and Lord, and the Spirit moves. That what's going on right now is good for your people, but it sure looks for bad from the world, Lord. And we pray a blessing upon this program this morning, that we would be an encouragement to the people, that you are an encouragement to you when you stand on the word. The word says that you cannot be moved, you know, stands on the law, Lord, that your law might be reestablished in this country. Well, when it was founded, that this would happen and happen soon, Lord, because there is tremendous casualties around us, Lord, and we don't like it, but we deserve it. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Remnant, I encourage you to be reading your Bible. You know, they, I think here the minor prophets, isn't that what they call them? I don't know why, but Jonah or Joel, Amos, Obadiah, we've talked about Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, all through there. Because it like so much of the word, you can see in it what is happening today. A couple verses I want to start out with in Habakkuk, because it does, it seems. It says, Habakkuk chapter 1, starting halfway through verse 3. Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. And if you can't look at the land today and see, this very thing is happening. In Memphis, that black bastard that kidnapped and killed that blonde female jogger, teacher, mother, husband, wife, and he was lawless. When you look through the news, not going to talk about it a lot this morning, but it's absolute lawlessness. He had been breaking the law. He had been abducting people. He had been charged, not convicted by a jury of his peers yet, but had been charged and let loose and caught and charged and let loose time and time again. The justice is perverted in the land. This that Habakkuk talked about, this lament, these words against Judah, they are against us today because that's who we are. Let's look at verse 5. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. Because see, if you told people that you can go out, God's going to work it out to where you can go out, these Chaldeans that have come against us, that came against Judah then, and these enemies of God that come against us today, if you went out and talked to people and told them and said, yeah, God's going to allow people to come out and kill our people and go scot-free and just take them right off the street and rape them and kill them and go scot-free, they wouldn't believe you. Just like it says, you wouldn't believe you if you were, you wouldn't believe it if you were told. The generation before us, they couldn't believe it, even if you tell them. And that's how it is today. That is how it is today. You wouldn't believe it if you were told. And when you read on through it, the description of the Chaldeans, it is like these untold, unnumbered people that are among us today that bring death and destruction. If it's not off the street like this black bastard did in Memphis, and then what was there was another one that goes around just shooting people, live streaming it for people to see, just killing people, putting it on the web. Yeah, look at this. Boom, boom, boom. Look at this. Ha, ha, ha. It's unbelievable. It's unexplainable away from the Word of God, away from our God keeping His promise. This is the Word of God right here. This is the Word. This is, and the Word is interchangeable with Jesus Christ. And that's how it is. I think the way that it is today, and it will continue that way until God is either fed up with it or until there's repentance in the land. I like Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 1 says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. And Paul, in your prayer, and you've said it before, we are being reproved as a people. We need to be, because we've turned away. We've not done what we should do. Now, there are some. We are doing what we can do. We are standing at the guard post. We are stationed on the rampart. We are doing our best to be watchmen on the wall, to warn, to tell people, to bring to their attention these things. You keep reading it. Verse 4, the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. That's not New Testament, folks. That's just the word. Nothing new. We see that throughout the Old Testament. We do. The times that are upon us are certainly different times. Things have changed. They have changed quite a bit. We remember President Obama talked a lot about that change. He sure wanted to, and him and his minions sure wanted to change the America that they saw, and they've done a good job of doing it. And tying into that, this Build Back Better we've been hearing, well, you have to destroy first before you can build back, and it's better for them. Of course, it's worse for us. We've talked about that, but it's better for them. But they're able to do it as long as God's people put up with it, as long as his people are okay with it. And Paul, I mean, am I wrong here? It sure seems like that the people just go along with it.
No, you're right on. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And if you take Judeo-Christianity, Judaism and Christianity are incompatible. One hates the other, and the yes. other should hate them. But we have been taught to tolerate everything, and we've been indoctrinated and stuff like that. But they can't coexist. And he, you know, when Obama says he wants change, well, in the back of our people's mind, yeah, we need change, so they go along with it, sort of. But the change he wants isn't what we need. We need the repentance, and he wants to take Christianity down and obliterate it. So that's their agenda. And the trouble is the local, like the Steeple House, is right in bed with them. They are indifferent, and they have a 501c3 status, and there's certain things they can't say and still maintain that, and they've been had. You know, the thing of it is, yeah, you give your tithe to the 501, and it's tax deductible. Well, you're supposed to give your money in secret. It's just a mess is what it is, and God's kingdom will come through this. There ain't no two of it. And he talks about a remnant. Now, a remnant is a part of a carpet that won't do the whole room. That's why they sell it cheap. And that's all that's going to be left. People make choices. People make choices. You know, you can choose what you want to believe, but, yeah, all these people that go to these Steeple Houses, you know, they think they're doing God's word just by going and listening, and they go out and talk about whatever they want. I've seen it in the Steeple House I went to. They could sit through a sermon, you go out there, they're smoking cigarettes and talking about everything worldly. They had no effect on those people, nor did they care. And furthermore, I had the youth group. They didn't even care about their children. And that was, I don't know, I've been down a rough road as far as, you know, seeing people and expecting people. I just told a friend of mine the other day, I said, people are your enemy till they prove otherwise. I mean, don't be stupid. We're not all on the same channel. Yeah, you can go to church and, you know, be fuzzy, comfortable with your one next to you, but you don't, until you bring up the truth, then you'll see what kind of a friend you have, because most people want to maintain their, you know, their status in the community by attending church. Well, I'm a good person, you know. Well, I'll see how you do business, how good you are, and what your motives are.
Right.
You know, the farmers today got their hand out to the other God all the time, you know, and they're just not being blessed. They're destroying themselves is what they're really doing, but they don't know it. So And everybody thinks that if they have money, they're okay. Think of the deceitfulness of riches. Gain is godliness. Well, that's just not the case always, because if you're blessed in this world, maybe that's all you get. I want to go beyond this world. There's just a bigger picture, and it's not being told.
Amen. Amen. It's not that we give up on this world, but there's more to it. There's more to it. We are to occupy until he comes. And that doesn't mean, you know, climb in a hole and wait. That's not what it, it's just not. It's not. Paul,
well,
I had somebody.
We inherit the world.
That's right. I had somebody send me a link, and it was a little video the guy did. And he was walking up to people at a gas station, and he said, "I'll fill your gas tank if you can tell me a Bible verse. If you can quote me a Bible verse, any Bible verse, I'll fill your gas tank." Now, that's anywhere from $50 to $100, just depending on what they're driving. And I'm sure he edited it. I'm sure some people did. But he was showing the ones that didn't. And they were about, I want to say about 8 or 10. I just glanced through it real quick. But, you know, several people just kind of turned and said, nope, you know, and kind of ignored him. One lady said, God so loved something about the world, didn't he? I mean, and that was it. And it just you know, it should be eye opening that because we see the result of that, that people don't know their Bible, they don't know who they are. You know, the ass that knows its manger, that knows its owner, but Israel doesn't know. They don't know the Word. Brother Zach has pointed out to us again and again that the Word is Jesus Christ, and they don't know Him. They absolutely don't. But I think there's times coming. We're seeing it in the secular world. A list of 33 things we should know about the coming food shortages. You know, we've been talking about this. We have been seeing this, you know, is it an upcoming famine? It may not be here tomorrow, but I think it is coming. We're seeing this about food shortages. We're seeing, and people are not realizing that the food that is not being grown this year is food that will not be on the shelves next year. I mentioned it a little Thursday night that number of cattle in Oregon down 41%, New Mexico down 43% in cattle, Texas down 50%. Heard on the radio last week that Texas was expected by the end of the year to be down 1 million head of cattle over last year. That's not insignificant. That's huge. And it's in Europe as well. Italy looking at 80% of certain harvests just gone. It's all over. It's not just here in the United States, but it is more of a global type of thing that is coming. It's just as plain as day it is. But let me read the last couple of verses of Habakkuk, and then we'll move on, because this is some better news. It really is. Verse 17 of Habakkuk 3 says, and this is the end of the book. It's only three short chapters, folks. It doesn't take long to read it. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. Now, what's the description here? That's famine. That's no food. No fruit, no olives, no cattle, no food. But verse 17, it all says, though this happens. Verse 18, Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on my high places. So, remnant, there's good news if you know where to look. There's good news if you know what to believe. There's good news if you have your faith, if you live by that faith. There's good news in this word. Yeah, there's good news in Jesus. He's the good news. He's the gospel is the good news, absolutely. But, you know, you have to buy it. You have to get into it a little bit. You have to apply it, if that makes sense. And it is there. And I know that there are those that are rejoicing, that do see these things coming and are, you know, they're not just standing on the street corner shaking a tambourine saying praise the Lord, but they're working along the lines that God has led them to. Whether it is sharing the gospel, whether it is living that gospel. I've had two people this week contact me about greenhouses. Hey, thinking about putting a greenhouse out. What do you think? Which way you think I should go? That type thing. And no, that's not the gospel. One was a member of the congregation, one wasn't. But it's, you know, and Paul, again, correct me if I'm wrong. I hope you always will. But I think it's working in the direction that they're being led by God. Does that make sense? In wanting to be a little more self-sufficient, in wanting to not rely on this system that's falling.
Yeah, you're right on, because there's a movement going on that's not reported, but the people are changing their minds. You know, the farm markets are just very, very busy. It's going on as we speak. You know, the hearts of the people are changing from that God to another God. You know, we've had it very easy. You know, you go down the store, get whatever you want, and I kind of like that too, but I know what's going on is very good for me because I need it as a person, you know, and I probably know more about the Bible than most people. And when you see the hand of God, when the Bible says something, it's the end of the matter, you know. And so one of the minor prophets is, you see, we inherit the earth. We inherit the house on the lake, the cottages, because these people are going to be gone. I'm very content where I'm at. I need just a little bitty cabin's all I need personally. You know, when I came out of high school, I went and worked in East Grand Rapids where all the rich people live. And it never impressed me for one minute. I always wanted to go home and farm. But I've seen rich people, how they live. And a lot of them are just common people. They're just a different set of numbers. And we all have this only thing that can give you contentment is when you are right with God and do it his way. And he will deal with you. You say you come to the church, you think life's going to get easy. That's just about the last thing that happens. You hit a brick wall with all the people around you and everything. And it's just takes courage to stand your ground is what it does. But this is gonna, God is gonna come out the winner, and he's setting this up. You know, when I talked about don't call this a conspiracy in Isaiah 8, see, this is the hand of God moving. It's not, you think, if in a conspiracy, if we get rid of our enemy, things will be okay, but we can't get rid of this enemy that's ours because he's dealing with us,
right?
So that's my take on it.
Well, I think you're right on. It is. It is. And I like how you put it. There is a movement that's going on. It's a movement back to nature, which is God. It's a movement to not rely on the false gods that are in the land. It's a movement to be in the world but not of the world. You know, we're all here for the time we're here, but we don't, there are certainly those that are doing their best to not be of this world, to not, yeah, we have to buy our gas at the gas station, and most of us, we have to go to the grocery store for our food, but in as many ways as possible, there are so many that are, you know, that are raising chickens, that are, if they're not, you know, they're getting eggs from their neighbor, And if they're not raising their beef, they're looking around the neighborhood, around their community, for somebody that is, and they're supporting them. And they're like the text I got this week. Hey, what do you think about a greenhouse? What direction would you go? And we talked about size and how much money you have to spend and how much time and how much you're wanting to grow and things like that. And again, I'll give accolades to Jason. It's certainly been on his heart the last couple years, probably most of his life, but definitely the last couple years for Jason in finding these fantastic agricultural and gardening books that we've been able to add to the ministry, that he's been able to find and we've been able to get and make available. And it's all we can do, Paul, to keep them in stock, I tell you that. And we're working on volume 7 of the newsletter, and we've got 7 new books that we're advertising in here that are like on the new organic farmer and the art of fermentation. These fantastic agricultural and gardening books that we've been able to add to the ministry, that he's been able to find and we've been able to get and make available. And it's all we can do, Paul, to keep them in stock, I tell you that. And we're working on volume 7 of the newsletter, and we've got 7 new books that we're advertising in here that are like on the new organic farmer and the art of fermentation, how it's going to be very shortly. And some people see that and are making preparations, and that's a good thing. And again, I'll give accolades to Jason. He's done a good job in finding these books and making them available, because it's good stuff. It's godly stuff. It is, whether it's preparing to feed your family, preparing to protect your family, preparing to lead your family. And as Christian men, that's where that's got to be first. It is. We have that godly admonition to work and to provide for our family, and it can still be done in a godly perspective and in a godly way in this land. It's just a choice.
The thing about a greenhouse, nature has its ways, and you can only manipulate nature so much. And a greenhouse is kind of an unnatural way of doing things. And I'm not talking you out of it. I'll just say we have to work with nature. When it goes through its seasons, the spring for planting and harvest and the whole thing goes through a cycle and rest. And you can only manipulate that so much, because crops go, they blossom in the spring, and that's nature's way. Now,
yes.
You can't manipulate that very much. The thing of it is, what I found and what I do, the bigness, particularly in apple trees, you're doing apples 2 and 3 years in advance. And then you see that wood is your battery, and the sunlight is your photosynthesis, and that fruit is your light. That's the product, and that don't just happen. That's 2 and 3 years in advance before this all happens. And to correct that takes a long time, too. So, but you have to know how it works to deal with it. But my point is, nature has its ways, and greenhouses are a great idea for certain things, but you can only manipulate nature so much. The nature has its ways. The seasons are for a reason.
Amen.
So,
amen. And a lot of that, again, Paul, I think that ties right in with what we're saying, that, so much of this information has been lost, has been put on the back shelf, has been put away. It hasn't been on the front burner, but I think it's moving. It's moving forward. It is. And I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing that it's still available and that people are looking towards it. Not all, but as you mentioned that remnant earlier, that scrap, that little piece, those are. And that's good. It is. I'm reminded of Daniel. In Daniel 1:8, Daniel, it says, but Daniel made up his mind that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine and all that stuff. And but I like that part where it says Daniel made up his mind. Now, that doesn't show stubbornness. You know, that's not defiance to God. That was in the will of God. He made up his mind, and it's implied in there with what happened, that it was pleasing to God when he did that. And we need to remember that. There's, you know, and apply that. And that's happening today. There's a lot of people that are making up their mind that, hey, I'm gonna serve the Lord in every way I can. And that doesn't mean going to Mexico to build houses. That's not the implication, the understanding. But doing godly things and turning from this worldly system.
Well, in that dirt to soil by Gabe Brown, if you read the whole book through, eventually he weaned himself off from government programs. He said he wished he'd never taken them. And see, they're always manipulating you in a direction that you shouldn't go. And the profitability of that farm is just unbelievable. And the thing of it is, what the shortcoming of that thing is, the land needs its rest. The Bible talks it needs its rest. And he's not working it to death for one thing, but... And in the economy, debt needs to be unloaded every 7 years, and this is God's way. And that's they're just about theirs, but that isn't always told, you know, because people don't like the truth for the most part. They don't want to be told. And stubbornness and conviction look from the road look the same, and only you know the difference.
That's right.
If I stand on conviction, some people call it stubbornness. Well, so be it.
Yes. Yes. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. The program, Coffee with the Wranglers. And still got a little coffee here in my little cup. Got a cup with a lid. It keeps it a little warm. And, you know, changes. We see change in the land. It's a change of seasons coming up. We've got a 91st day coming up on, I think, the 17th. And when we will move from summer to fall, we're sure feeling it this morning, getting a little taste of it. And I think it's going to be most welcome across the country because we've had record heat in California, Texas, in the South, Nevada. My son's out there cowboying, been 105 degrees out there in the desert. It's been a warm winter. It has. You know, we, again, something to be thankful for. It's that season that's drawing to an end. And then there's a new season coming. And it'd be good to be ready for it, to be prepared. We are to be a people that know what's coming and can prepare for it. Because good Lord willing, winter will come right after this fall. Well, Paul, let's try the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. I've gotten your routine down. I shut off my iPad when you answer the phone so it doesn't interfere.
Awesome.
This is Floyd again in South Dakota. I'd love to share.
Sure. Well, thanks for the call. You have a comment this morning, or how are things in South Dakota?
Well, in South Dakota, we're experiencing true fall. Drastic change from earlier this week, upper 90s, triple-digit heat factors and fire warnings, to yesterday, we went down to 50, 60 degrees for the high.
Boy, that's a nice reprieve. I've got family down in Florida, and they've told me about just how hot it is, and they have not cooled off. It might be another month or two before they do. But what a Floyd, we've had that here as well. We were high 80s, and we're mid 40s this morning. And I know Colorado has done the same. They've gone from 90s and triple digits down in the 50s. And what a blessing that is.
It is. I heard that part when you first opened up this morning. That's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
So what I'd like to share is that Satan has done a good job through the remnant need to hear this. Satan has done a great job in belittling the itching ears through the what shall I call them? The false prophets of the 501c3, the followers of Constantine, so on, to repeat so many times through the generations to make the lies seem like the truth and believe that they're serving God and the Antichrist church to be the church of God, which is not, to lead us to where we're at today because we refuse to pick up the word of God, too busy making brick without straw, just as happened to the Israelites before they crossed the Red Sea. And we're still in that picture. There's nothing new under the sun.
Agreed. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. And there's more and more and more, you know, to do. Anything and everything. More to do on Sundays, you know, in society Sunday. They poo-poo these, they talk about the back when we were in the dark ages and had things like blue laws where businesses weren't open on Sunday. Whoa, and how horrible that was. But you know, you didn't have bastards kidnapping people off the streets and killing them. You didn't have the crime that you have in the land today. You didn't have the sickness that you have in the land today. You didn't have as many children's hospitals as you do in the land today. I remember growing up. I'm 57, and I remember growing up in Central Florida. I've mentioned it before, but when we got out of church, went to a little Free Will Baptist church there, and when you got out of church, you either went home for lunch or you went over to Aunt Margie's and had fried chicken. It was one or the other. A few times of the year, they'd have dinner on the grounds and have everybody bring something, and the little the hall out back where they did feet washing and had Sunday school rooms. And that was where we'd eat sometimes. Two or three times a year we'd have dinner on the grounds. But you didn't go to fast food after because they weren't open. And you didn't go to big restaurants and stuff after church because they weren't open. And you're talking, that's been almost 50 years ago. Yeah, about 50 years ago, I'd say. Go ahead.
Even 30 years ago or around there, I was part of a Pentecostal church in North Carolina that still taught me that I must be saved, even though they're still false prophets, as I've learned in the last couple of months. I so appreciate your ministry to help me step out of Babylon and sharpen up my sword with the true word of God, listening to y'all teaching me. But, Chick-fil-A was still not serving to put up a challenge to other restaurants on Sunday when we got out of church, you know. And,
amen.
Yeah, but this is awesome where we need to learn how to step out of Babylon. Learn how to make it a priority to make time for God, either before we start our day or before we lay our head down, praying and reading instead of making brick without straw. And I love the idea of the one that Paul or was it you, between you and Paul, found an individual that was just going to fill up a person's gas tank. And I believe he did that for the purpose of being a messenger from God to lead people to see how much they're not reading their word and praying.
Yeah.
To exhort them to do so. I believe that's what he was doing. I believe he felt God moved upon him to be a messenger to do that at that particular gas station. I can yield with that. And thank you for letting me come on.
All right, Floyd. Thanks for the call, brother. God bless. Well, amen.
I see stuff moving back. There's plenty of business that aren't open on Sunday that used to be. There was a big greenhouse a few years ago. It closed on Sunday, and there's a hardware that closed on Sunday. And I see a little tendency to get back to that. And recently, Labor Day, you could not find a restaurant to go to because they were all closed.
Right.
But there's some of them okay for the whole weekend. But you're seeing people get away from that, having that thing open 24/7, you know, for every last dollar and stuff like that. And then I think they want some peace in their own life, too. And you got to have, you know, God set it up for the Sabbath was built for, made for us, not us for it. So,
amen. Yeah, and you know, I think Chick-fil-A is a great example. The Cathy family? I mean, they aren't perfect. No, do they have perfect doctrine? Nobody does. Do they live perfect lives? Nobody does. But they run their business, and they require the business of Chick-fil-A to be run with Christian principles. Now, is it perfect? Does all the food they have free of preservatives and organic and natural? No. No, it's a business. And you have a choice whether you want to go there or not, whether you want to eat their food or drink their sweet tea. Oh, my gosh. That is some good stuff. Anyway, the choice is yours, but they run it based on Christian principles. And they have been successful in this Babylonian world in the few years that they've been around, that they've grown to the number two fast food joint, whatever you want to call it, business, restaurant, in the world. And they're only in the United States, and they're only open 6 days a week. And you can argue that all you want, but that's the facts. And because it shows that God's word is true. You honor him, and he honors you. And you do your best. Perfect? No, we don't reach perfection. There's only been one perfect, and they put him on a cross. But when you try, the blessings are there. It's just, you can't argue it. But even that, people don't see it. They don't see it. Paul, I don't know, do they have Chick-fil-A's up where you're at? Do they have them up in Minnesota? Michigan,
yeah.
All those places?
They just put a new one not too far from me. I haven't been there yet, but...
We don't have them here. I think there's one over in Cheyenne. There is. Maybe two. I know there's one over there. But if I get down to Colorado, sometimes I get down in the towns, I'll stop by there. It's been a couple weeks since I've been there, but there's always a line. They're getting people in and out. But, you know, the people that work there, they're always smiling. They're always, good morning, good afternoon, my pleasure. And so many of our people... the people in the land, they do realize the difference. You know, you don't have to be a Christian to go there, but there's people that go there that you know, they enjoy that good experience, that smile and that good morning and stuff. And because it's so, there's such a lack of it in the land today, and. The growth that company's experienced, I think, you know, says a lot. It really does.
Some of the most devout, God-fearing people I know are Roman Catholic, and they would do what's right if they knew what was right. Don't let God be the judge. It's bigger than we are. So But, yeah, I know some of the most devout. There was a lady not too far from here. Her husband got electrocuted and worked for the power company, and she had six children. And one thing she said, it's the pain that only God can heal. You know, I thought that was just a profound statement coming from her. It's a pain that only God can heal. You know, she knew where to turn. Mm-hmm. So.
Amen.
And I started this book last night, What Happened to Our Children, and from Colonel Moore. Let me read this to you. At the end of the Korean War, our highest-ranking POW, Major General William Dean, a fine Christian who had withstood terrible torture and pressure in a North Korean prison and still maintained his Christian integrity, crossed the border at... it's a Asian name. I ain't gonna try it. He was accompanied by a Chinese lieutenant colonel who was the head interrogator of the communists, that a PhD graduate from UCLA, of all places. When they departed, the Chinese told General Dean, "Don't feel downhearted about leaving us, General. We will soon take over your country, and you will be with us again." When Dean asked him how they would do it, he said, "Will morally destroy one generation of your youth, and you will have no one willing to defend you." This is the enemy speaking from a different angle, but at the same purpose. The main emphasis is against American youth. This is why they are so very important. We neither reach the high school and college group with the truth, or we might save some time by having a funeral service for the Christian American now. This is their, now he was talking about the other one where the Jewish leaders of the movements in college, they just came off in that. And that's what he said. But they're after our youth.
What year was that, Paul?
I want to read another.
What does that say what year it was? Korea. I mean, Korea, that was in the 50s, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, late 40s, early 50s, somewhere in there. But that was then. But now I want to read this other. A letter received from a man and his mother sums it up. What many American parents rightly feel about the public school system. Dear friend, I've about given up. Several years ago, I sent a happy, well-adjusted son off to his first grade in public school. Today, because of his exposure to so-called human values, the same boy is downright unhappy. I am ashamed to say so, but there are nights when I hate to spend the evening with him. He questions everything I say. This system is undoing us, and it's the NEA is all involved in the whole thing. It's right up to their neck, you know. They're after our youth, and I'd say they got them myself for the most part. They, you know, there's been a movement going on since my kids were young. The oldest daughter's 45, but I homeschooled them, you know, since she was in fourth grade, and. But anyway, the people that are pulling out of the system, they see it. But I tell you what, you read those textbooks those kids are reading, you will get your kids out of there immediately because they want your kids and they want to destroy you.
Amen.
You know, I talked to a state cop a few years ago. I asked him if he liked his job. He said, "Well, it ain't as fun as it used to be." He says, "Nobody has respect for the law anymore."
Right.
And then he talked about the internal part of the thing a little bit. He don't say too much, but, you know, you read between the lines, you could tell what's going on. And I'll tell you, he said, yeah, he says, it's not good inside either, and I'll tell you what it is. He says, nobody wants to get their hands dirty. They want to get into management, get off the street. So, that was 10 years ago already, probably. But everybody can see it coming, but they're taking our youth. You know, remember Hosea said, "I'll forget your children," and we're tripping
right.
them up.
That's right. You forget my law, and I will forget your children. And praise God, He keeps His word. We can trust
Definitely
and rely on that He keeps His word. He cannot change. He does not change. He doesn't.
We'll read Deuteronomy 28, all the blessings and the curses, and if we don't see that, that's off. Well, it's on the white race is what it's on.
It is.
Don't be silly. But you go back to Genesis, in the very beginning, God created everything. He made man and woman, and he rested. And then he made another man, the Adamic man. He put him to sleep and took a rib out of his side. And see, we are different people, and we are that people. I had a discussion with a farmer. I see him every week. He's into this regenerative agriculture. He's doing great. And I was talking to him. He goes to that same steeple house that Zach used to go. And he's telling the Jews are God's chosen people. And I said, well, now, do you believe the Bible? He said, yeah. I said, who was Jesus sent for? He said, well, anybody that believes. I said, well, that ain't what the Bible says.
That's right. Where does it say quoted, that?
You know, Jesus was, well, anyway, I said, well, you know, the Bible says, I was sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, well, who's Israel? I don't know. Well, it was Jacob. Jacob's name was chained to Israel, and he had 12 sons. Now, you're trying to tell me that only one son is privileged? He said, let's talk about regenerative agriculture.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, he couldn't handle it.
Right.
And way back when that guy changed the subject, shut up.
But there was probably,
just went in mental overload.
Right. But there was probably a time, Paul, he couldn't handle regenerative agriculture either. But he's grown into that, hasn't he?
Oh, he was eager to go into it. He says it just made sense.
Yeah, that's good.
He knows Scripture. He really does. But like Pastor Peter, he knows the Bible. You don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen to that. Amen. Yeah, it can be overwhelming. It can. I like how you put it before. You know, so you ask questions. Like you said, you ask questions. Because it gets them thinking. And it plants a seed, Remnant. It plants a seed. Just like you said, so, you know, when you ask Paul, oh, so it's just one son, it's just one family, and not all of them, and, you know, do you believe the word of God, and, you know, what does it say here, and the people, some, begin to realize that what they've been hearing from their Judeo-Christian pastor is not what the word says. You know, we're sure thankful that is happening. God says return to him. You know, in Joel, he doesn't say return to me with your hand up and the sinner's prayer. He says return to me with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. That, you know, that's an all-in kind of thing. But it's worth it, and it's the only hope. It's certainly the only salvation that we have, the only salvation we have from our sins, the only salvation we have from the hands of those that hate us and wish to destroy us. And I mentioned it before, but the thought occurs to me is, you know, people, we have to, and I try to, when I'm talking to people about the Bible and stuff, is that realize that there are Goliaths out there. There are those that defy our God, that are not going to repent, that cannot repent. There are those out there that are creatures of instinct, created to be destroyed like Goliath was. You know, God didn't direct David to come before Goliath and say, Goliath, big guy, let me introduce you to my God. You just need to know Yahweh. You just need to know our God and how good he is and the blessings he has and on and on and on. That's not what David did. David said, I'm going to strike you down, big guy. And that's what he did. And we have to realize that there are Goliaths in our land today. Now, they may not be 9 foot tall with six fingers and six toes, but it's by their fruits you know them. And, you know, there's good fruit, there's bad fruit, and we have to realize that. And I know we're running out of time here, and I encourage you to get our Volume 7 newsletter. We're printing it. Had some trouble with the Tabber again yesterday. We couldn't finish up yesterday's worth of printing, but we'll be back next week printing it. And anybody that wants you to give up your gun is not your friend. They are a Goliath, either in in the physical or in the spiritual, okay? And I remember Pastor teaching on that. And I guess we'll leave you with that this morning, that anybody that wants you to give up your guns is not your friend. Well, Paul, thanks for joining us this morning, buddy. For sure, appreciate it.
Yep.
And Remnant, we invite you to church tomorrow. We're planning on being there 8:30 Mountain, 8:30 a.m. in the morning Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. We'll see you there.
Rolling, shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will